Welcome to Sharing Socks, taking a look at the week that just has been in Socksdom. I'm Southside Sox duty geezer Lee Allen, and with me, my son, and usually West Coast correspondent Will, except that we're both West Coast correspondents today because my wife and I are visiting Will and his wife, and we're right in his little studio because he's an actor person and has one of those things. So we're looking at it. We can actually hit each other rather than just yell at each other during the course of this, which
this
is
will
probably
to blows.
A good thing for me. Before we get on to the week of how games went kind of thing, obviously the major news of the past week is we're recording this on Wednesday, the line drive that Oakland star pitcher Chris Bassitt took to the face off the bat of Brian Goodwin. Best we know at this point, he has broken jaw and broken cheekbone. They're not reporting any brain damage, not reporting vision damage, saying that he has 20/20 vision, but things happen after swelling goes down, so we don't really know. And it'll be several days before he has an operation. This has happened before in the major leagues, and I think the most famous one, and the one Will had never heard of because of his age, and nobody except the one listener we have who's older than I am, that would be Tony La Russa, would be familiar with. And that's the case of Herb Score. Herb Score, who ended up pitching with the White Sox, so we have a White Sox tie-in, came up with the Indians and was a phenom.
Is it pronounced Herb or Herb?
It is not a food, so it's Herb.
Okay, just checking.
He came up in 1955, was Rookie of the Year, led the major leagues in strikeouts as a rookie, with more than one strikeout an inning. Now, nowadays, you have more than one strikeout an inning. So what? Hey, in 1955, you weren't supposed to strike out. It was a real bad mark on your manhood if you struck out. So getting that number of strikeouts in 1955 was phenomenal. He repeated it in 1956. He led the majors in strikeouts again. Then early in 1957, pitching for the Indians, Score was on the mound and got hit by a line drive off the bat of Gil McDougald of the Yankees. And he, too, had broken bones through his face. His vision was originally impacted, but corrected. He got his vision back fully. But he never recovered from it. He came back. He pitched for Cleveland for about a year and a half. They traded him to the Sox for Barry Latman. And he pitched for the White Sox for 3 years. But he was never Herb Score again. And you have to be my age group to know that Herb Score, had that not happened, you'd be saying Cy Young, Sandy Koufax, Bob Feller, Herb Score. That's how good he was. He was an absolutely dominating young pitcher that never came back from the injury to the degree before. And we just hope that does not happen to Chris Bassitt, former White Sox. Even though he plays for an opposing team, that he is able to, a mental part of it comes up. You are obviously a little gun-shy, probably not consciously, but your body's reacting that way, and it has to affect how you pitch. Will had a teammate when you were on that team that played in the Nationals, a guy we picked up kind of toward the end of the season, a pitcher, from, I think, West Milton, Ohio, and who was instrumental in making it to the national finals. I think the semifinal game that he pitched, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And beat a team from Florida badly. I mean, they couldn't hit him at all. And then he, in playing high school ball, got a line drive to the face and just was shattered, not just emotionally, but his whole face was shattered. And so on. I don't know that he certainly never went on to pitching greatness or anything, but we don't know that would have been the case.
I'd say anyway. For me, I did a lot of pitching, especially my senior year, and there's nothing more terrifying than when somebody cracks one up the middle. Because, I mean, obviously we didn't have exit velos around, usually around 100 or 110, 115, like some of these pitchers face. But even just off the metal bat in high school coming straight at you, it is absolutely terrifying. And once you have one come close, you do alter your release. And whether it's conscious or not, you catch yourself throwing the ball differently so that you can protect yourself in that scenario. I know for me, the most memorable instance of this is 2012, Brandon McCarthy, another A's pitcher. Note to self, don't pitch for the A's, but he got hit in the head and was actually in critical condition, and they thought maybe it was going to kill him. And then we had the fortune of seeing him pitch again in the pros. I think he came back for the Diamondbacks and pitched again, but they did the padding within his hat. So he had a very intensely padded hat because he didn't get hit in the face and break bones. He got hit right in the head. So with him, it was an issue of brain swelling that almost took his life. And very, very fortunate that he got to come back. He was great, actually, before he got hit. He came back and was all right, but nothing like what he was before. So it is just, especially, you know, we talk about all the reasons to change the game so that we're not seeing these exit velocities of 115 miles an hour. If there is one for me, it is that right there. It is that right there. Those pitchers are sitting ducks. When you're talking about being 60 feet away on a ball coming at you that you didn't expect at 105, 106. I mean,
and often they don't see, depends on the pitcher, but a lot of pitchers, particularly guys who throw hard, come off the mound, and when they're off the mound, they're not looking at the plate anymore. And you could actually see it in the slow-mo of Bassett on Tuesday. He's really looking off to the side and then realizes what's happening and does a kind of cringe. But he wasn't looking right at the ball when it first was coming at him. One of the, maybe the greatest hitter I've ever seen, Dick Allen, who played for the White Sox in the early 70s and was absolutely fantastic hitter. I always swear that when he would actually tee one up, you could see the ball go flat on the side. Probably not true because it's probably for a thousandth of a second or something, but he absolutely drilled the ball. And he said that he would make an effort not to hit the ball up the middle. He was a line drive hitter. He was not a launch angle guy. If he was a launch angle guy, he would hit him 700 feet. But he'd hit these incredible line drives. He said, I would try not to hit it up the middle because I was afraid I'd kill somebody. You know, they've talked about, in the major league level, all levels of baseball, doing something about, like, helmets for pitchers. But the problem, batters are fairly static. You know, batters stands and he can look through that little L thing that comes across the mouth. For a pitcher who's got to be able to look in all directions, you got to look back to second base and over to third and over to first, and then field the ball, presumably. That's a much more difficult question. I think you could probably put an on top of the head helmet, like you're talking about padding that McCarthy had. But I don't know that you could do anything that would protect what happened to Bassett.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you came down over the face with something because it would just...
Yeah, at that point, you're getting into the full face mask thing, and you're going to see so much pushback from trying to get pitchers to all wear the face mask. And there's really no other solution to this problem. It is just very, very dangerous. I bet there are a lot of batters to this day who also make an attempt to never hit the ball up the middle for that very reason. And, you know, it affects the batters a lot, too. Brian Goodwin bounced back very nicely from what happened. But it can take a big toll mentally on a batter who hits a ball back at a pitcher like that. It can screw you up for a long time if you're the reason, you know, someone's career has been put in jeopardy. And in some cases, their life has been put in jeopardy. You see it when a ball goes in the stands and hits someone, that players can be pretty tortured by that.
Back before helmets, particularly the cases like Tony Conigliaro, where he damn near died, but actually came back and played again. Pitchers can be really gun shy. You know, they'll never throw inside again.
Oh yeah.
After they cause that level of injury.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, a lot of times pitchers know that if depending on what spot they're going to hit in the mitt, they know the likelihood of where a ball will go. But you know, it's totally out of their hands once they let go of that ball. And, you know, this is a tragic case where someone did get hit, but for each of these, there's hundreds in which it barely misses. You know, it's actually surprising this doesn't happen more often. So Chris, as you're recovering, I'm sure you're one of our listeners. I don't know why all of the Oakland A's wouldn't listen to our...
Well, he's a former White Sox, so I think all former White Sox players...
I don't even remember him being a former White Sox.
Oh, it was one of the worst trades ever.
It was a really, we do a lot of those.
It was a really, really bad trade.
Who did we get for that one? Was that Samardzija or something?
It was one of those kind of trades. Yeah, it may have been the Samardzija.
Well,
Semien and Bassett. You want Semien and Bassett? Sure, here you go.
Oh, right, Semien. Yeah, that was, whoops. But yeah, all the best wishes out there for Chris Bassett. You know, we obviously aren't A's fans, but of all the teams that we play against in the AL, I tend to like the A's the most.
I tend to like the A's and the Rays because they make so much out of so little. And I don't mean the players are so little, but their resources are small. Their fan bases are small. Yeah, they're cheap. But if you can be cheap and really good, that's different from being the Pirates.
Right. Yeah, I just always have a respect for them. They find a way most of the time to be somewhat competitive. They're always a scrappy bunch of guys. Of course, Moneyball sort of turned everyone's focus over to the A's and what they do with that ball club. But I've always liked them. You know, it's always been a situation where if the White Sox aren't in it, at the end, I always would want the A's to be there just because they get no love. You know, they're in this market with the San Francisco Giants. It's very similar sort of to a Cubs-White Sox scenario. The A's are the White Sox of the Bay Area. So I've always liked them. So best wishes out to Chris Bassett. Swift recovery. I'm actually going to be at the Coliseum for A's Astros at the end of September, just because I, after all this time off, I had to find a way to boo the Astros, and this is the most convenient. So I'll be driving 5.5 hours to go boo the Astros. So if you don't think I'm committed, you're wrong.
Yeah,
you're crazy.
You happen to be on the way to somewhere else, but we won't have a moment.
Correct. But let's go ahead and take our break here, and we will come back and talk about some White Sox baseball. Let's do it. We'll be right back on Sharing Sox. Welcome back to Sharing Sox. I'm West Coast correspondent Will. This is the duty geezer who has invaded the West Coast uninvited. But we, you know, we're nice people out here. So we've welcomed him into the studio. And we spent the first half talking about yesterday's horrific incident that occurred on the mound. But now we'll talk a little bit more about our White Sox team as we have won the first two against the A's. And
two out of three from the Yankees.
Trying to sweep that one today.
No, it's a four game.
Trying to sweep that one today and tomorrow.
let's stay with pitching. I mean, we were talking about pitchers in a very unfortunate sense, but let's look in a fortunate sense.
You want to talk about Cy Young candidate Ronaldo Lopez,
yes,
I presume?
Yes, I do. Because, I mean, we've all written him off. I certainly have written him off for years.
Okay. You can't say we all have written him off because I've said numerous times on this podcast, Ronaldo Lopez is either a Cy Young candidate or the worst pitcher in baseball, and he goes back and forth between the two. We have seen him throw lights out for the White Sox, sandwiched between five games in which he gave up 10 runs. So we know that he's got this in him. I'm just shocked to see it come out in this circumstance, because we had thought, oh, maybe we talked about, I think last time, oh, maybe he needs to be a reliever because there are different mentalities for relievers. And he had started looking good as a reliever. And then he comes out and, you know, they took him out after five innings, but he could have gone more, I'm sure, yesterday. And he looked good.
He has looked good several times in a row. And you begin to wonder, as we see some struggles from Dylan Cease, and we see some more struggles from Dallas Keuchel, whether the number four slot, we've got 6 weeks to go to figure this out, but whether in those 6 weeks, the number four slot in the playoffs could be neither Dallas Keuchel,
nor
Dylan Cease.
But Michael Kopech is what you're
Michael
trying Kopech. To say.
Michael Kopech would be my first choice, yes. Michael Kopech would, but maybe a Michael Kopech Reynaldo Lopez combo.
Now, I love it. I love the idea. I actually really like Reynaldo Lopez. I think he's mystifying. I can't tell if he's a genius or an idiot. He's one of those guys.
He kept his ERA under 14.
I just can't get a read on this guy. Yeah, he goes down to AAA. He does everything you're not supposed to do to get back to the big leagues, but we bring him up anyway. And then all of a sudden, he's lights out. Yesterday, that was not just a quality start, which it was technically. It was a great start. It was,
Now, of course, you have to realize that the team he was pitching against after the second inning was devastated.
That's absolutely true. However, he still got them all out. They're still up there swinging. They're still Major League Baseball players. And to see Reynaldo Lopez, if the Reynaldo Lopez thing is real, this is a World Series team, and you can't convince me otherwise. If we are going to have a sixth or seventh starter who can come out of the bullpen and throw a few innings without giving up runs.
Eight of them if the starters doesn't get through the seventh.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think Lance Lynn is going to be our game one starter. I think Rodon, pending injury, is going to be number two.
Giolito's number three.
Giolito is likely number three.
Though
he's making it questionable. I think you're looking at Kopech as the number four, just because he's got the nastiest stuff that we've seen. And Keuchel, Keuchel's obviously going to make the playoff roster. He's got the experience.
We don't need a number five. Let's
you
start
don't.
With that.
You don't. Absolutely.
You never use a number five.
But for that number four, if it's not Kopech, it could be Keuchel. It could be Cease. It could be Lopez. I think we have a spoil of riches, actually, in that we have a whole bunch of guys who might be good enough to pitch that fourth game. And that means if we got to throw all four of them in the fourth game, we can. And I think we will. If that's the case, I think first guy go, you warm up, you have two of them ready to go at the beginning of the game. You put the first guy in, anything happens, he's gone. Move on to the second guy. I don't mean one run, but if he has a big inning, take him out, move on. Kopech doesn't go well, take him out, bring in Dallas Keuchel. He's a total opposite of Kopech in terms of pitching. See how that goes. Keuchel doesn't work out, you bring in Cease. Cease probably won't work out, so then you bring in Lopez. Then somehow you've gotten the six innings you need to get to
Bummer,
Tapera, Kimbrel, and
we hope Liam's working.
Liam,
okay.
he did have a nice outing.
Oh, he did.
And
he's so good when he's good, but when the slider is not working, he really gets hit hard. Now here's the question, and I think I'll write a whole piece on this in addition just to the conversation here. We have two ways to go, and this is up to the Hall of Famer baseball person. Do you make it your priority, and you have a very, after you get through these 14 games, an incredibly soft schedule, and then you end up with things like Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Texas. I mean, it's a gimme. And the other guys are going to be playing very rough schedules. Right now, it's very tight as to who's going to be the 1, 2, or 3 seed. Could go any direction. Any day it could change, I think. I haven't looked this morning, but I think we're third at the moment, and we'd go to Houston to start. Do you make it a priority to try to get the number one seed? Has its advantages. We've talked about this before. It's not as huge as you'd think, because in the five, in the two wild card area, the five team area era, seven of the 16 wild cards have actually won their first round against the top seed. So that's not way out of line.
Yeah.
But do you make that a priority, or do you make the priority the health of your pitchers, making sure all of the starting pitchers have had times when they've looked like they're really tired.
Yeah.
And make it a priority that they don't pitch 120 pitches, or they haven't been doing that, but over 100 pitches, that maybe you build up a couple hundred pitch games toward the end, but you give them some 60, 70 pitch outings in late August, early September. You give them a turn that they don't take. That'll vary with the pitcher. Some, I think, would be upset at missing a turn, but they don't go out as hard on that. Do you make that your priority, the condition of the pitchers, or do you make the priority being number one seed? You could get both. You could get neither. But which one are you going to aim for?
Healthy pitchers.
I agree. Healthy I go for pitchers. The healthy pitchers. The one thought the other way is that the Sox are not a good road team. They're one game over 500 on the road. That's the worst of any team that has a chance of making the playoffs.
Doesn't matter if you don't have pitchers.
I agree. Yeah. No, I think.
Yeah. I would love for us to win the AL. I would love to get the one seed. But if I have to choose every single time, I want healthy pitchers. You're still going to get games at home. You just got to win the one on the road. I definitely think that you have to focus, especially when you're dealing with guys who have not thrown that many innings, who have never thrown over that amount of time, Rodon being the main one.
Cease hasn't thrown them.
Cease, yep. The key thing, Lopez, if he becomes our guy, Kopech, of course not. The key thing is just making sure you have healthy pitchers. You know, the home field advantage thing's real. In a lot of ways, I think Bobby Cox had the famous, post-game conference thing that said, home field advantage. What home field advantage? And I think that's true. We saw it in the World Series a couple years ago, and the Nationals beat the Astros, and the road team won all seven games, which is, you know, of course, an outlier. But I definitely think when push comes to shove, you have to have a healthy pitching staff. There's no way around
and
it.
And really, we, as Sox fans, have moaned and groaned all season about our terrible, terrible injuries, and absolutely true in the outfield, especially losing Madrigal, a bad thing. But I think probably most teams have lost an infielder, you know.
Oh, for sure.
For large parts, if not the entire season. The outfield was really weird. But we've not had pitching injuries. Lynn missed one turn. Rodon missed one turn, maybe two. Unless it's worse than we think. But as we think right now, it's just a little kind of rest period, a good rest period for him, really. Even a bummer was hurt for a little bit, but not for very long. Jason Fry was out for a long time, and so what? If you're worried about Jason Fry, you don't belong in the playoffs anyway. That's going to happen.
That doesn't matter.
I mean, Jason Fry, it's been very, very lucky on the pitching side. And some team, I mean, we're playing the Yankees. They didn't have any pitchers left.
No, they are.
You know, they were bringing up guys, just dragged that, drawing them out of the minors and throwing them into major league situations of big games. Even the Field of Dreams, they got a guy there. What was his second game back from the minor leagues where he'd been sent about 14 times? They were devastated. But it's happened to a lot of teams, not quite to that extent, but to a fair extent. Yeah, look at the Red Sox and Chris Sale.
Who has returned.
And obviously
looks pretty good.
Is their number one starter when
immediately,
healthy.
Yeah.
So we've been very fortunate at pitching. We got to just, you know, knock it. We got some wood right here. That something doesn't happen in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That would eliminate any of them. Because if one of the big three is not ready to go in the playoffs, we're going to really need a breakthrough from Keuchel or Cease or Lopez or Kopech. Yeah.
That's the nice thing is we get to list off all these names of guys
who
might come through. Yeah, Crochet. Crochet, who I think has elastic at the bottom of his pants. So that they crimp around his leg like a toddler. And I got to say, for a really tall guy, it's a good look. It's a good look. The toddler vibe, I'm into it. Gary Crochet, in general, looks like he's 6 or 7 years old, but just, you know, in some movie where it's a 7-year-old who grew to 6'3", that's the vibe I get from Crochet all around. Just the processing you see, the pants, but he makes it work. He makes it work. All right. Well, I think that is about all the time we have for sharing socks this week. We're both sporting some new socks hats. As you can see, I've got the Field of Dreams logo.
Can I turn around here?
Yeah. And then, you can see this is a custom sharing socks established 2020 socks hat.
My 75th birthday present.
For a 75th birthday. Happy birthday to the geezer. And I'm guessing we'll get more gear as the World Series run goes. So I'm looking at the Moncada 42-pound gold chain with his initials and the number 10 on it.
And you're suggesting that when your birthday comes up next month, that would be appropriate?
Well, my birthday's on the 10th. So getting the 10 chain, not out of the realm of possibility. But thank you so much for listening. One more shout-out of good vibes for Chris Bassett.
For sure.
We really do hope a very swift recovery. You know, get back out there. You got this, dude. And we will see you next time. Thanks for listening to Sharing Socks.